Cole pokes the rebound down around Ryan O'Reilly. Back of the net, right in front, the score! Elias Lindholm wins it after a minute two of overtime. And the Canucks take a 3-1 series lead over Nashville.
And there you go. The Predators are in deep, deep, deep trouble. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios here. It is a Reaction Monday. Here's what we're going to do. Just so everybody understands up front. 2 o'clock, Predators. 3 o'clock, Draft. 4 o'clock, Predators. 5 o'clock, Draft. Anybody got a problem with that? I thought so. Okay, so I want to start with this, which was last night's game, which was an absolute killer. This series is all but over. You're down 3-1, going back to Vancouver after what was, I guess in my opinion, the most disappointing playoff loss in the history of the Nashville Predators. And this may end up being the most disappointing playoff series in the history of the Nashville Predators. And it was all encapsulated by 3 minutes last night at the end of the game. In fact, I turned to my dad. I felt so good yesterday. We had a great show at 1 o'clock. We had a great time doing the show. Then we had a great time before the game. Then we had a great time at the game. I got a great parking spot for the game. I turned to my dad, who almost never wants to go, but, you know, it's the playoffs. I turned to my dad and I said, hey, they're going to pull the goalie here. When they pull the goalie, if the Predators put it in to make it 4-1, as soon as that puck hits the back of the net, turn it up the aisle because we're donezo. We're out of here. You know, we're going to get on the road. We're going to get on our way. And I saw the goalie pulled, and I thought, okay, here's our chance, here's our chance, here's our chance. Thinking, okay, and I'm going to get up the aisle and then get up to the door and then get the – and then all of a sudden I saw Vancouver with the relentless attack, and then I see the puck go in the net, and I see Vancouver get excited, and I'm like, okay, all right. It's okay. It's all right. These things happen. It's odd how often the other team scores 6-on-5 on the Predators and how often the Predators don't score 6-on-5 and get empty netted by the other team, but that's a different discussion for a different day. Then the Predators win some draws, and the Predators are out there, you know, and not great puck movement by Vancouver at the beginning, and the Predators end up, and then Colton Sissons hits the post. And when Colton Sissons hit the post, I thought, oh, God. Oh, God, here we go. Oh, no. And I kept looking up at the scoreboard and looking down the whole time with about 30 seconds to go, and I'm just holding on to my tush thinking, can they? It wasn't a matter of whether or not Vancouver was going to score. It was a matter as to whether or not they were going to score within the 30 seconds or the however long they were down in the Predator zone. It was, could they get it in before the horn went off? That was the only question. They were going to score. With those guys out on the ice and the guys you put out on the ice, which is an issue I have with the coach, because I did not like the units that he put out there at the end of the game with the empty net. But when Gus Nyquist fell down, I thought, oh, crap, this is trouble. And then, of course, they make the initial save. Josi blows up the play trying in order to block the shot, ends up taking himself out of the play, which then allows everybody all the room in the world. So Besser's not challenged to get his own rebound, and he puts it back in. And when that puck went in the net and I saw them start to celebrate and I looked up and I saw 6.2 seconds on the clock, I said, this series is over. That was exactly how I felt. And I was hoping, there was a little hope inside of me, that this team would have the scrotum to be able to overcome what was the incredible letdown that they had last night. You know, 15 minutes of, hey, it's okay. Yeah, we screwed up, but let's get out there in overtime. Let's let one of these guys goes out there and makes a play. You know, one of the big boys, one of the $8 million guys, one of the big-time guys. I'm not looking at Bevilier saying, hey, Bevilier, go win me the game. I'm looking at Forsberg and Josi, and not 20 seconds into overtime, it felt like that thing was over. I mean, just an all-time killer. And here's the most disappointing part of not just last night's game, but this series as a whole. you should have won this series. You're going to lose this series. I mean, it's possible they win tomorrow night. I don't think it's possible that they can win three games in a row. I just don't think they have good enough players to be able to do it. Anything's possible in the NHL. But, I mean, you're going to lose this series. And it sucks. Because you should have won this series. They have been playing with a backup goalie and now a third-string goalie for pretty much the entire series. And the one game that they didn't play with a backup goalie or a third-string goalie, you should have won. You should have won game one. Probably should have lost game two. Should have won game three. And you absolutely should have won last night, and there is no question about it. And I know that we didn't go into the season thinking the Predators were cup contenders, and this will be a narrative that comes up if they lose tomorrow night or Friday or whenever. But this is the narrative that will come up, which is, well, they weren't supposed to be here, and they had a good season, and they're trying to build for the future, and that's great. And I can listen to that, you know, at some point down the road when the Predators win the cup in 3 years or something like that, then we can have this discussion. But right now, all I can do is live in the moment. And in the moment, I am looking at a playoff series that the Nashville Predators should be up 3-1 in, maybe should have already won. That regardless, the Predators should have won this series, given the fact that they have, as far as 5-on-5 is concerned, they have completely outplayed Vancouver, and Vancouver, again, has been playing with a backup goalie and now a third-string goalie. And yet, tomorrow night, around 11:30, 12 o'clock, you're probably going to lose. And it sucks. Fan base deserves better. I would argue the team deserves better, but quite frankly, I think this is a problem with the team. And it is not lost on me that a week before the playoffs, Barry Trotz came on the show. This was before they played Winnipeg, where they got the point in overtime in order to clinch a playoff spot. And Barry Trotz, okay, we were already talking playoffs because, again, you're 1 point out with like six games to go, so you know you're going to get it. And so, you know, we're talking about it with Barry. And I had talked about the fans. Now, Barry, go the Bridgestone Arena, the crowd tonight, the fans, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Barry basically said, fans, don't get on our guys. And I'm paraphrasing what he said. But he said, fans, you know, there's a lot of anxiety in the playoffs, and, you know, nobody wants to perform better for you guys than they do, and they're trying their hardest, and don't, you know, let's do this together. Let's not get on the guys if things don't go well. And I was kind of sitting there thinking to myself, I'm going to let this go. But, I mean, come on now. We want to win. We don't want to almost win. And I wonder if Barry Trotz said that, because Barry Trotz, and I'm not speaking for him, I'm just wondering if Barry Trotz thinks this team's soft. If that when the Predators started the playoffs, Andrew Burnett, oh, this team has nothing to lose. You know, we weren't supposed to be here. They've got the Canadian media. I wonder if that is I know my team is soft. And because I know my team is soft, I do not want to put any pressure on them, because they will crumble under pressure. And last night, they absolutely, completely crumbled. And it feels like this has been an issue for the entire series. Now, there are some dudes that seem to be completely immune to this, just, wow, the moment is too big for me, like Jason Zucker and, shockingly, Anthony Beauvillier. Those two guys, the moment has not been too big for them. But for Yossi, for Forsberg, for McDonough at times, though McDonough was very, very good in game two, Carrier and Lauzon, Cole Smith, and then, quite frankly, Novak, Sissons with the post last night, it's like these guys are afraid to win. That's what it feels like to me. That this team, for some reason, that this moment is too big for them. And I don't know how it can be too big for a group of guys that have played in the playoffs as much as these guys have played. Ryan O'Reilly's won the Conn Smythe. Roman Yossi's played in 85 playoff games entering this playoff series. That's an entire season worth of playoff games. Soros has been in net now. This is what, his third series? What's going on here? So I hate to sit here and tell you it's over, because hockey is absolutely a forgotten sport, and nothing that happens, and I believe this for every other series, team, game, etc., and this is kind of an idiom that I now have when it comes to the NHL playoffs. Because if this were 5 years ago, I'd sit here and say absolutely no way that they're going to win tomorrow. I'm not completely ruling it out. I don't think they're going to win tomorrow, but I'm not completely ruling it out, because in hockey, each game is independent of the previous game. So the absolute vomit bag that was the end of last night really shouldn't have an effect tomorrow night, because the NHL is just different. Basketball, you'd be laying down tomorrow night, Cancun on three, but this ain't basketball. But I just don't know if this team has the stones to be able to win. I just don't know if they can do it. If they have the it factor in them to win. And the only reason I say it is because they've blown this series. This is a series they should have won. In 2015, you blew a series against Chicago. They went on to win the Cup that year. But you blew that series with a bunch of young guys, an inexperienced playoff team. That I got. First-year head coach. But this Vancouver team, no disrespect to Besser and Pettersson, who, by the way, has been a non-factor. We talk about the moment being too big for him. JT Miller. That's not Taves and Kane, who you blew the series to in 2015. And this is the only thing that I can compare this to. This is bad. I mean, there is just no way around it. And today and for the next week, I'm putting an embargo on this for an entire week, because I think there's a pretty good chance they're going to lose on Tuesday. So I'm putting an embargo on this for an entire week. The talk of they weren't supposed to be here is not allowed, because they should have won game one, they should have won game three, and there's no argument that they should have won game four, and they have nobody to blame but themselves. And that's just reality. And it hurts. It hurts knowing that this team had the season they had, knowing that this team is capable of winning this series, and knowing that with the goalie issues and the way the games have unfolded, you should win this series, and you're not going to. That sucks. It sucks 1,000 times more than that Colorado series 2 years ago when you were outmatched from the first second of the first game. That one was, hey, we're getting embarrassed. It is what it is. This team's going to lose maybe before the start of May, and they should have won this series. Now, can they beat Edmonton? I doubt it. But again, I don't care about that. I'm worried about this series. And you absolutely should have won this series. And you're not going to. And that's the hard part. At least it feels like you're not going to. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Defeat snatched from the jaws of victory. Unbelievable last night. We'll get your reaction to the game. And then here's the reality, that if I was Barry Trotz, I wouldn't have to publicly commit to this. I wouldn't even privately have to commit to this. But it would be where my head is at. You know, talk radio is, in my opinion, sports talk radio, it's like a daily report card, right? It's like, okay, here's where we are today. Here's what I'm thinking today. And there's something that, again, if I was the GM, I wouldn't be committed to right now, but I'd be getting there. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, and of course your phones today, 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Fed to the side of the right circle, back out for Hughes. Hughes for Miller. His shot to the side of the net, shoveled over. And Saros tried to get there in time, but could not. So with the extra attacker, the Canucks cut the Predators' lead to one goal. Yossi tried to clear it. Quinn Hughes keeps it in, drops it back. Here is a shot stopped and a rebound try. Besser scores. Brock Besser picked up the rebound and has tied the game with 6.2 seconds left. Two extra attacker goals here by the Canucks. And a hat trick for Brock Besser.
The first one's kind of backdoor, right? He got a kind of empty net, and then second one, there was 6 seconds left, maybe. From my standpoint, I saw Miller coming down, and I just tried to go full block mode and not let him get it to net. I think it hits my stick, and then off juice pad, and I don't know. I would have to look at it, but probably things that we can correct and do better. It's too quick now to really assess what happened.
That was Yossi last night, and I got to say, a complete and total meltdown. And again, like, he's going, well, you know, I tried to go full block mode, and I took myself out of the play. Just like Gus Nyquist took himself out of the play, you know, on the front end. I forget who it was. I want to say it was Pettersson he was chasing after, and he slipped up, and all of a sudden now it's 6-on-4. Yossi tries to block the shot. Now it's 6-on-3, and you lose. And again, talk radio is so different from everything else, especially sports radio. Take out, you know, news talk and Rush Limbaugh and all that kind of stuff. But sports talk radio, to me, this is a daily discussion, right? We have the same discussions on the program that we assume the general manager and the coach and the assistant coaches and the assistants and that everybody's having all at one time. And then we decide what we think they should do. And then whether or not they do it, that's their business. But a lot of times these guys probably have a lot of these discussions in private that don't make it to public. And a lot of times these guys probably sit up there in their box, like Barry Trotz yesterday, who I looked at yesterday when the Sissons hit the post. And I mean, Barry had to like walk away from the box walk away from the edge of the box for a second. I cannot imagine how he reacted to that, you know, internally. But there's probably a lot that's going on inside that head of his. And if I was Barry Trotz, I wouldn't have made this decision yet, but I'd be getting pretty close, that I'm really starting to doubt the core of this team. Yossi, Forsberg, Saros. The guys that have been here for almost all of this. The guys that were in the Arizona bubble. The guys that played in that Carolina series. The guys that are responsible for why you made the playoffs and had that 18-game point streak this year. But I'm really starting to doubt whether or not I can build around those guys to win. Or if I need to get better players than those guys to be able to win. You know, I used to think when we were talking about tearing it down all those years, and, you know, Adam Vingan, every time I talk about tearing it down, would say something crazy like, you know, well, you know, Buffalo has been tearing it down for forever, and Buffalo is terrible. And right, I know. But, you know, you're not going to be Buffalo. Because you got Yossi and Forsberg, and at the time, Ekholm and some of these guys. And I wondered if you could rebuild your team the way the Boston Bruins rebuilt their team from 2015 to 17. Now, I covered the Bruins in 13, so I know that team, and obviously I know the Bruins now and everything else. And they really built that thing on the fly. They rebuilt it on the fly around Bergeron, Marchand, Chara, and Tuukka Rask. Like, those are the guys that were there when they won the Cup in 2011, that were there when they were competing for it again in 18, 19, and now they're still Cup contenders. And now, look, Chara's retired, and Rask is retired, and Bergeron is retired, and they've added those new pieces that have graduated to become those star players, and you need to do that too. But I really wondered if you could do that. Could you build it around Yossi and Forsberg and Saros? And I'm really starting to think the answer is no. I'm really starting to think it's just, you know what? Either these guys aren't good enough, which might be true, or these guys don't have it in them. That they don't have it in them in order to be able to be the big-time winners. And the reality is that this really just kind of points a finger at Saros more than anything else. Because the other two guys have full no moves. So, I mean, it's really about, like, the core of this team. Like, do I need to find, you know, a all-in top-line forward? And if Forsberg doesn't like it, say, look, man, it is what it is. But I would be I'd be nervous about this right now if I was him. About going into this offseason saying, hey, we had a great year. This team really came together. They've got good chemistry. We got players that can compete. We just need to get a couple of pieces here and there and we could win. I'd have a hard time doing that. Just because I don't know if it's specific to that game. Like, oh, if this hadn't happened or if this, or if it's just like, this is the makeup of this group. It doesn't matter if it's that crummy Arizona bubble team or if it's Vancouver on their eighth goalie or if it's whoever, a legitimate cup contender in Carolina. It doesn't matter. They can't beat them. And that would be what would be going through my head right now if I was Barry Trotz, is what do I do given that fact? Phones, 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones here on the program. I do want to read this text real quick before we get into the phones. One texter says, disappointing way to end the game last night, but the series is far from over. The series has been pretty even so far, and it took two incredibly fluky goals for them to tie it. You want to know what the real problem was? It wasn't a fluky goal that they won on. And it wasn't fluky that it was. Ian, how quick was that into overtime that they scored?
A minute something.
That wasn't a fluke, folks. The Preds have what it takes to win the series. We won't even remember this game in 2 weeks. I mean, look, I love my team too. But sometimes we got to smell the coffee. To your phones next. 615-737-1025. Your reaction to, again, an all-timer of a meltdown. One that, when it was 3-1, I turned to my dad in the third period and I said, this feels like a baseball game where we got the lead in the eighth inning, but boy, I don't trust the bullpen. And that's exactly what happened. To your phones next. Let's talk about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They are proud supporters of the Predators. I can promise you, Hiller is still pulling for them through and through, and they always will. Smile and save this month with Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Why? Because Hiller will make you taking care of your home systems so much easier than before. You know, I've been using Hiller at my home for years, and I absolutely know that when it comes to Hiller, they will do a fabulous job for you. From now until April 30th, take advantage of the big savings on home systems. So enjoy up to $1,500 off select new HVAC systems, whole home water filtration and descalers, or select new whole home generators. If you've been waiting for the right time to upgrade or replace your systems, now is the time to do it. So visit happyhiller.com today for details. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters, the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today.
To the bench for the extra attacker with 2:06 left. Down behind the Nashville net, Yossi up the left side for O'Reilly. O'Reilly steers it out. Predators get it down the left side. Sissons, the backhander, hit the goalpost. Colton Sissons hit the goalpost with a long backhander.
I mean, I saw that and I thought, you got to be kidding me. Texter says the missed open net goal was a killer, just a terrible effort finishing the game. Something needs to change. I don't think it was bad effort. And I will never question the Predators' effort, or at least this group's effort, because they play their tushes off every night. But again, I think there's something mental there with this team where they can't close out games. And I think they may just not be tough enough. The other thing too, I don't just want to throw this on the Sissons, you know, putting the puck in the net on an empty netter. I mean, it did cost you the game. There's no way around it. If that puck goes in the net, you win. But I thought the matchups that Burnett ran out there at the end in the 5-on-6, I thought they were terrible. What the hell's Jankowski and Nyquist and Cole Smith? What are they doing in the game? Where's Bevilier? Where's Zucker? Those two guys, I think, have been the best two skaters on this team in this playoff series. They're the two guys that are immune from the pants crapping that seems to have gone through, has been contagious around the entire dressing room, and it has not affected Bevilier or Zucker at all. And in the case of Zucker, I mean, he is a big boy, and he is a true pro at both ends of the ice. And Bevilier, he's everywhere. I mean, I keep seeing him in the offensive zone on the forecheck, and I'm like, he is buzzing around like a bee out. I mean, it's like, where were they last night? Instead, you're running Gus Nyquist. Why? So, I mean, we can sit here and complain about the missed empty netter. I mean, everybody knows Sissons has to hit that. But we got a question as far as the coach is concerned. I did not like the matchups that he put out there as they were trying to kill the clock. It was too much of the, well, the Scarbini line is our identity, and that's what we're going to do, and so let's put Cole Smith out there. And I'm like, if you watch the same game I've watched, Bevilier's all over the place. Put Bevilier in the game. Let's go to your phones. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. William is going to kick us off here on the phones. Thank you for calling and waiting patiently. William, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sure. I watch Preds games, and I kind of look for a character of the team, like things to be positive about, and I also look for things to go, uh-oh, that's a statement-type game. And what 3 weeks ago, we were still fighting for the playoffs. We're playing Dallas. We had a 2-1 lead with 15 seconds left in the game. We don't even give it. We're fighting for points here. We don't even give it to overtime. We lost the game in regulation, but 2-1 lead with 15 seconds left. I made a mental note of that. And I said,
which game are you talking about? You talking about the Dallas game before Christmas?
No, this was about 3 weeks ago, I believe.
I have no. Ian, do you have any idea what game he's talking about?
Or maybe it was before Christmas.
Who was the opponent? Did he say?
No. He said just blew the lead, you know, with like 5 seconds. I think you're talking about Dallas before Christmas. See, that didn't bother me. And I understand what you're saying. Like, that didn't bother me about what happened in December and everything. I didn't think that those games, like, that they lost that game because they felt the pressure of, oh, God, this moment is too big for this regular season game against the Dallas Stars. I never felt that way. I think what I got too caught up in was the winning against playoff teams in the regular season and saying, hey, they're beating the crap out of Colorado. They're beating the crap out of Winnipeg. They're coming back and beating Vegas. They're beating this team, beating that team, and saying, hey, this is a sign that these guys are real contenders, when it's just different in the playoffs. These guys play harder in the playoffs. These guys are more locked into the game and the matchups in the playoffs. And this team, to me, it'd be one thing to say, you know, can this team really compete against the best of the best? Could this team go out there in a series against the New York Rangers and compete? I don't know. I would lean towards no. But could they? I don't think so. But in this series, with their second and third string goalies, you've been the better team. And you can't win. And it's like, okay, why can't you win? It's not effort. It's not that the guys aren't focused. It's not that the guys don't care. It's not any of that. I think sometimes just when the going gets tough, some dudes like Tom Brady elevate their game and other dudes don't. And I think that's what you've got a little bit of. Let's go to John, who's up next here on the program. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, John.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm with you on questioning this core. I mean, you know, some of these guys have been around since Trotz was the coach. You know, guys like Forsberg and Yossi, you know, I mean, I love the players themselves, you know, but, I mean, they couldn't get it done when you had Weber and P.K. Subban in town. And, I mean, so, I mean, not really any, you know, tell of them getting done on their own. And there's really no one coming up from Milwaukee either that's going to be a full-blown superstar. So I think you just got to tear it down, man.
Well, so you can't do that, and I appreciate your call, John. You can't do that because those guys have no movement clauses. Now, because like Vingan texted me in the last segment when I was talking about the core, and he said, Yossi and Forsberg, there's nothing Trotz can do about them because they have full no movements. But my point is that, you know, if I'm Barry Trotz and I'm approaching free agency, and I have the option of, on my second line next year, re-signing Jason Zucker on a two-year, $11 million contract, or I could let Zucker go in free agency and see if Philip Tomasino or Juuso Parsonen or Joakim Kimmel or one of those guys can play the spot next year. And if they don't, well, we learned that Tomasino's not going to make it, or we learned Parsonen's not going to make it. I mean, if you think you've got a team that can compete for the cup, you re-sign Jason Zucker. But if you don't think that, you know, with Yossi and Forsberg leading the way, that you have a team that's capable of competing for the cup, then you don't make those moves because it's like, well, what's the point? What's the point of paying Jason Zucker $11 million over the next 2 years if you can't get a superstar in here that's going to make the difference. Now, as far as the actual core itself and everything, the real question in the offseason is going to be Soros. And I asked Vingan this morning, you know, he's got all the insight into the analytics and everything else. I asked him, what was Soros last night, goals above allowed above expected? Because I'm really disappointed in Soros. And I understand the idea the Predators have done this far too often over the years, especially in playoff games, where they'll have a one-goal lead with 11 minutes left, and they'll turn around to Pekarinne, and they'll turn around to UC Soros, and they'll say, all right, boys, good job today. Time now for you to bring it home. And I'm like, I think that's a little too much to ask Rene against Taves and Kane for 11 minutes to completely dominate the game. But that's what they do oftentimes. Well, it's different when it's 3 minutes to go. When it's 3 minutes to go with a two-goal lead and you're a superstar goalie, you have to bring that one home. And so I asked Vingan, what was the goals above expected? You know, that analytics stat? Soros yesterday, 1.41 goals allowed above expected. Basically, UC Soros gave up an extra goal and a half yesterday. Can't have it. And for the series, Vingan told me that Soros right now has allowed 3.1 goals above expected. That means that UC Soros has allowed three extra goals in this series. You lost game one by two goals, but really one because one was an empty netter. You lost on Friday night by a goal, and you lost last night by a goal, and he's allowed three goals above expected. At some point, it is what it is. Now, when he brought up Weber or PK Subban or whatever, here is the difference between the core that got you to the Cup Final and won the President's Trophy and this group. That group, yes, Josi and Forsberg were a part of it, but the star of that group was Pekarinne. Defensively, Roman Josi was a co-star with PK Subban. And Subban, when he wanted to play, and in 17 and 18, he wanted to play. When Subban was committed, he was probably the best player on defense on this team. And then up front, it wasn't just Forsberg, but Mike Fisher was still on the team. And so now all those guys are gone, and it's kind of like, all right, this is really on you. And I think we're seeing what happens if you put it on those guys. And some of it may be that they're good players. They're not great players. And in the playoffs, every other team's going to have the great players. And so your good players are going to lose to their great players. But it doesn't really matter what the reason why is. It just matters that, you know what, you can't win with these guys, can you? These guys can't close out games when they're supposed to. Whether it's that awful Arizona bubble team or whether it's a good Vancouver team that has no goaltending. 615-737-1025, more your phone, 615-737-1025. Now, I do not question this group's desire to win, and I will not do that with this team. This team plays their butts off, and they played their butts off last night. But there was something about the overtime series of events that really didn't sit right with me. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company and your phones, 1025-1063 The Game.
Lost composure. Where was the breakdown specifically on the goal to get it within one and then the game-tying goal?
Well, I think there's a lot of swing in our game. In the first one and the second one, we kind of got beat up ice. And then we got a sure kind of to play to clear it. We kind of flubbed it a little bit. We fell down. Then we got exposed. And again, it they're going to get their looks. A lot of things happen. You know, I think tonight we gave up a face-off goal and 2 5-on-6 goals. And I don't know if I've been in too many games where you lose games doing that.
That's a problem. And by the way, the face-off goal, Ian and I were talking about it during the break. The face-off goal came after Fabbro behind the net. I believe Vancouver was getting a change. And Fabbro behind the net. And I got to tell you, I am getting kind of tired of watching Fabbro because he sucks. And he just slings the puck from behind the net all the way around the board. And I thought Evangelista had touched it up. So when they called icing, I was a little surprised by that. But they call icing. JT Miller goes in because, of course, you know, McCarron's group's out there with Evangelista. And that gives, you know, Rick Tocchet the opportunity to set up an ozone matchup. And he puts JT Miller's guys out there since JT Miller might be the best player on that team. And whoever was supposed to take the faceoff, I think, got thrown from the dot. And JT Miller got put in. And when JT Miller went in, he stopped, and he literally went over the set piece with everybody before. And he won the draw, and they scored. And I cannot tell you last night how many meaningful faceoffs you lost and how many meaningful faceoffs you've lost in this series, to the point that on the last power play Friday night, Andrew Burnett had taken Luke Evangelista off the power play unit and had put Colton Sissons in. So it was Nyquist, O'Reilly, Forsberg, Yossi, and Sissons, only so that Sissons could win the draw, and then Sissons got thrown from the circle and O'Reilly had to take the draw. And it's little things like that that in the playoffs, it's going to get you beat. Now, the talk there was about composure. And Andrew Brad's like, I think there's just a lot of swing in our game, what he said. And I think we've seen this now, where the pants crapping of the Predators seems to be a problem at all of the wrong times, both in games one and game four. What disappointed me, and I'm not angry about it, because anger usually comes from a guy not trying hard, a guy being lazy, you know, somebody who's not committed, those kind of things. When you try hard and you fail, it stinks, but I'm not mad about it. But what I was very disappointed in last night was that when Vancouver tied the game, there was a 15-minute break before the overtime period. And I thought to myself, Vancouver's probably going to come out here and score within the first 5 minutes, but if this group's really got some resolve, really got, you know, some cojones, if this group's really got it inside of them, they're going to go into that dressing room and say, guys, it sucks, but none of this matters if we put one in the back of the net to begin this overtime period. And I remember against Vegas, granted 3-on-3 is different than 5-on-5, but against Vegas in the game the Predators came back in, they won the draw, and Yossi took it coast to coast, went right behind the net, and put it in. A big boy play. And I wanted to see that last night. And not only did I not see that, because I don't even think the Preds really possessed the puck last night in overtime, but it was a total breakdown in the D zone between Forsberg and O'Reilly. Again, it's one thing to give up a goal because Dante Fabro's just lazy and just throwing the puck around the board, or maybe Luke Evangelista wasn't technically over the line when he touched it up, or maybe Evangelista didn't touch it up. It's one thing when it's those guys that screw up. Jankowski not getting a clear in game three. That's one thing. It's another thing when it's Forsberg and O'Reilly. And I thought that the Predators' quote-unquote response in overtime just reeked of a lack of belief. That they went into the dressing room feeling the same way I felt, which was, we're screwed. And they played like it in that overtime period. And that was disappointing. Let's go to Scott, who's up next here on the program. Thank you for calling and waiting. Go ahead, Scott.
I think bagging on or questioning Forsberg and Yossi is just beyond dumb, because by your own criteria, they've been there before. They've been to a cup final. They've won a president's trophy. And they weren't rookies along for the ride. Yossi was the top guy on the top defensive pair. And Forsberg was
He was not. Ekholm and Subban was the top defensive pair in the 17 playoffs.
That was a defensive shutdown situation, though.
Yeah,
I don't care. They're the top pair.
Saros is a different story. Saros is not giving us Vezina quality goaltending during the playoffs, and that's starting to be a pattern over, he wasn't in the Carolina series or whatever, but he's yet to show his full promise in the playoffs. So, I mean, if you can't sign him to a team-friendly extension, then yeah, maybe you see what you can get for him, and let's roll with Askarov and Lankinen.
So I will say this, Scott. Scott, thank you for your call.
Dumb to bag on. Yeah.
So I mean, I'm sorry, but you can't sit there, like Barry Trotz can't sit there and talk to us about serial winners and talk about, you know, O'Reilly and McDonough and Luke Shen and these guys that have won and really harped on the importance of winning without there being another side to the tree. And the other side another branch is, well, what are the guys that don't win? Are they serial losers? And it's a question that has to be asked. And I'm sorry, but at no point has Roman Josi or Philip Forsberg taken over this series the way that they should be capable of, the way Brock Besser did last night. But forget about them for a second. I think that UC Soros is making the decision easier for Barry Trotz. Because, again, I don't know what for the series the goals above expected is for Casey DeSmith and Seeloff's from last night. But if you've never watched hockey before and you just sat down this series and you said, how much better is the Nashville goaltender than the goaltenders for Vancouver? I think you'd say, is he better than those goaltenders? I mean, this Smith is getting peppered in game three, and he gives up one goal. Seeloff's, I want to say, what was it, 30-something shots you had? They were nowhere near that. And when a goalie's going to be a $8 million goalie or something like that, it's, at some point, you've got to give them – I mean, at some point, you got to shut the door. And he couldn't do it last night. And I know that, you know, well, that was a back door and an empty net, and then it was, oh, okay. The thing about great goalies that steal games and steal series are that they make saves on shots that they're not supposed to, right? How many times did Pekka in the playoffs make a big save that you looked at it the replay and said, how did he make that save? And when you won in 17 in game 7 against Anaheim, he did that. When you won, excuse me, I was 16 in game 7. When you won games 5 and 6 and 17 against Anaheim, he did that. Game 1 against Chicago, he did that. Soros hasn't done that. And again, it'd be one thing if there wasn't a ticking time frame here as far as Soros and his contract and his last year and everything else, but it is. I mean, I think that if they get beat tomorrow night, I think Soros has probably made the Askarov-Soros decision. He's probably made that for Barry Trotz. But don't tell me I can't get on Josi and Forsberg. I mean, if I was a Vancouver Canucks fan, I'd be getting on Elias Pettersson because Brock Besser's doing his part. JT Miller's doing his part. Quinn Hughes, I think, is trying to do his part. He's getting murdered out there on the ice, by the way. And he is trying. But Pettersson has been a no-show for them. Well, right now, Forsberg and Josi, outside of Forsberg kicking the puck in the net yesterday, which I was shocked didn't come back. But outside of that, where have they been this series for you? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I said how we're going to do this. 2 o'clock on the Predators, 3 o'clock on the Titans, 4 o'clock on the Predators, 5 o'clock on the Titans. So, the Titans' 2024 draft class is finalized. But the big pick, both literally and figuratively, is Tavondre Sweat. So, what do we make of it? And what do we make of the good and the bad of this pick? And if the Titans could have done things differently, we'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.